Dan Bickley.
Big Dan.
How you doing, Big Dan?
Big Dan.
Vince Murata.
Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer.
Bickley and Murata.
Yes, have some.
It's nice.
Yes, have some.
I like it, you.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Better coach, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
By far?
To me, yes.
James Harrison, former NFL player, ex-Steeler, ex-Patriot, who played for both teams, appearing on Fox Sports 1's Undisputed, asked the question, who's the better coach? Belichick, by far. And everybody wants to react to that and go, oh my God, how could he say that about Mike Tomlin? Guess what? Bill Belichick's a better coach than Mike Tomlin.
I really like Mike Tomlin. I don't think anybody would dispute that. Bill Belichick's a better coach than everybody.
I mean, the name of the show is Undisputed.
It's true. they delivered what they promised.
Here's more from that particular television program. James Harrison sharing his thoughts on Mike Tomlin as a head coach.
Mike Tomlin is good as a head coach. He's a player's coach.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be a little bit more disciplined. Other than that, the big thing with Belichick is he's very regimented. He's disciplined. Everyone is going to be on the same page. It's not going to be anything as far as someone doing their own thing. And I think, you know, over there, their co-coaching staff is like that. You're going to know what you're doing. I mean, it's meetings after me. I ain't never been to so many meetings in my life. And I think, you know, that's really what helped me pick up that defense so fast.
And more on Tomlin and his reputation as a coach.
I don't know if it's too much of a player's coach. I think that from me going from being with coaches like Coach Cowher and, you know, to Tomlin and then over to Belichick, like Belichick is old school. Like, you go do it like this or it ain't going to get done, you know. So, like I said, playing for him is easy. If you're used to regimen, you're used to discipline, it's not something that's hard to do. If you're not, then you're going to have some issues until you get in line.
It's amazing how many questions have come up this offseason, particularly, Luke, about the style of coaching Bill Belichick has. And there's players from the outside taking shots at the Patriot way, players that used to be with the Patriots, maybe not enjoying that experience. I think James Harrison hit the nail on the head. If you're used to playing a certain way, or playing for a certain type of coach, it's a pretty good way to live.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's maybe more of those quote-unquote players coaches like Mike Tomlin out there now that, I don't want to say soften players and their attitudes toward how they go about their business. I just think from the outside looking in, there's very little you can pick apart about the way the Patriots do their work.
I completely agree. I mean, the record speaks for themselves. You can pick apart whether or not they should be filming other teams when they practice or stuff like that.
I mean, that's not above board. We know that.
But in terms of if Bill Belichick's coaching style works, it is odd that we're hearing more people seemingly complain about it. But they all seem to be former players that didn't really play big roles there. I mean, guys that, and maybe you just have to be a certain sort of player. You would think you know what you're getting into when you sign with the Patriots. But if you're sort of a fringe player, You do need to know that everybody is replaceable in Bill Belichick's mind. I mean, I think when he looks at Tom Brady, he sees a replaceable player. And that might be the greatest quarterback in NFL history. But we were talking about this yesterday. I mean, the Patriots are run like a college team in the sense that their success hinges on the coach and that system more than any other professional team.
Yeah, and loyalty is not certainly high on the list of priorities for the Patriots because of that business-like approach. Like you said, everybody's replaceable. So you hold the Patriots over on one end, and the big story in the NBA this week was the Kawhi Leonard trade and how DeMar DeRozan was affected by the Toronto Raptors and their lack of loyalty. It doesn't it seem, when you consider loyalty in professional sports, doesn't it seem foolish? When you see what the extreme example of no loyalty or very little loyalty can mean in football success.
Yeah. I mean, there's some loyalty, but it's not, it's weird that people expect a team to be that loyal to a player when the players aren't that loyal to the teams in the NBA. And then in the NFL, it's almost the complete flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you really expect a player to be that loyal to his team in the NFL when the teams, they just aren't loyal to any players? And there's a couple exceptions, but I almost feel like at times we lose sight of how, not that people don't appreciate it here by any means. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is one of the most, probably the most revered athlete in Arizona sports history. But it is, it's remarkable that we've had that sort of relationship where the team's loyal to Larry and Larry's loyal to the team.
Yeah.
And we've seen it in hockey with Shane Doan here, and we might see it in baseball with Paul Goldschmidt here.
Yeah, but I mean, for the example, and I hate to keep, you know, throwing dirt on this, but the example with Shane Doan, that the one side of that loyalty ran out.
Yeah.
And it was still disappointing for a lot of people,
yeah,
even after two decades.
Yeah. That's yeah, okay, that's fair. But that was, yeah, there were some odd circumstances there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it was all the same people involved the whole time.
More from Harrison, who joined the Patriots at the end of last year, played one regular season game, then played three postseason games with them, including the Super Bowl. He also said that all the Belichick-Brady friction that gets reported about, and there was that big expose piece on ESPN, he said it's all made up. He said all these stories that came out about all this friction and stuff, honestly believe that is made up. I came in there looking, I was like, am I going to see what is going on? They have trouble too, just like everyone else, right? I get in there, I see nothing. They were interacting, they were talking, I don't see any friction. I believe they just make up stories to pull the team tighter and closer together, and that's really all it does.
It is what it does. Every single time you hear a story about how the Patriots are going to fall apart or how Belichick doesn't like this player or any sort of adversity around the Patriots is when they seem to play their best football. So that seems a little absurd when he says it, and yet at the same time, I've thought that before.
Other football news. This was interesting. Darren Rovell put this out today on ESPN.com. Top-ranking player in the National Football League in all merchandise sales from March to May this year is Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles. He topped Tom Brady, his teammate Carson Wentz, Saquon Barkley, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott, Jimmy Garoppolo, Odell Beckham Jr., and Derek Carr. Those were the top.
Bear down.
Don't ever play that again. You could play it Poop My Pants a million times before you ever play that disgusting soundbite again, Jared.
Who was that?
Does it matter?
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
I pooped my pants.
Thank you.
See, that's better.
This is such a weird situation because I get this. Philly fans are in love with Nick Foles for what he did for the team in the postseason. He won them a Super Bowl, first one they've ever won.
And he won it. He wasn't just on the team as they won it.
No,
he played a huge role.
Yeah, he was tremendous in the postseason. So they go out and they celebrate by buying all this Super Bowl gear and Nick Foles gear. Those same people that are buying all this merchandise, not one of them wants to see him play again. I don't know if there's ever been a situation like this in professional
this
sports
is what happens
before.
When Philadelphia wins things. They don't know how to react.
But it's totally understandable.
Well, yeah, he just won them a Super Bowl. He won it. He was the reason they won the actual Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make a case that defense or whoever else got them there, but he did everything they could have possibly asked, and he made the biggest plays in the Super Bowl itself.
I'm reminded of a question I asked Sal Palantonio on this show about how big would it be? Where would this rank for in Philadelphia sports history? And his head blew up. And then he said something stupid.
Was his answer like, don't ask me questions like that or something along those lines?
I'm concentrating on practice.
It sounded like he actually was practicing.
I mean, draw the parallel locally.
Okay.
Totally hypothetical. I don't want to be held responsible if any of this happens.
So I'm going to have to imagine one of our teams winning a championship.
Sam Bradford plays at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Cardinals get off to a really good start.
Yes.
He gets hurt.
Okay.
Josh Rosen.
Tough to follow that.
Josh Rosen takes them the rest of the way. He's everything that everybody thought he was going to be.
Okay.
Cardinals clinch a playoff spot.
Yep.
Week 17, he gets hurt. Mike Glennon comes in and leads the Cardinals to a Super Bowl title.
Oh, boy.
Mike Glennon is a Phoenix sports legend that nobody ever wants to see play again.
And here I thought this was going to be a really elaborate and unbelievable scenario you were going to paint. But it ended with Mike Glennon winning the Super Bowl for the Cardinals, so I guess I was wrong.
I don't know. It's just a unique situation.
Yeah. You're right. Everybody in Philadelphia wants Carson Wentz back. But this is one of the few times where you go into an NFL season, and I feel really confident that one specific team that isn't the Patriots is going to be very good, and it's for that exact reason. If Foles has to start the year, they're fine. And it's not like he just went on a three-game run during the playoffs last year and he's never been good before. He's been good in this league before. If Wentz is back, then they're fine. If Wentz is back and he gets hurt in week 8, they're still fine.
He's been good in this league before, but he also got benched multiple times and didn't start for several years.
Yeah, but you know he can get you through one season. He might not be able to get... Look, if Carson Wentz doesn't play next year, it's not like I think Philadelphia's going to win the Super Bowl, but they're the only team in the NFL that has two quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I will say this. As we are getting closer and closer to the opening of camps, one of the things that surprised me most about this offseason is that Nick Foles is still in Philadelphia. With a resume-building run like that, a shortage of quarterbacks, and a clear-cut quarterback of the future for maybe the next decade in Philadelphia... The fact that he's still as a backup, it's somewhat commendable by organization and player, because I know Nick Foles didn't really want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
His only success in this league has happened in a Philadelphia uniform, but I can't believe there wasn't a team that was willing to just make a ridiculous offer for Nick Foles. Maybe there was, and they all said no. I don't know.
I go back and forth on this, because when the season ended, when the Super Bowl ended, I had the same thought of, okay, well, Philadelphia, now's your chance to cash in. You just won the Super Bowl, and you can trade Nick Foles for a bunch of pieces. But they don't need a bunch of pieces. And so wasn't the stance that they took was make this unreal offer to us. I forget what it was, but it was like a first, a second rounder. It was something that was so outlandish it wasn't going to happen. And if it did, then you would take it, I think. But they don't need pieces. What they need is basically the guarantee that they'll get good quarterback play, even if they have an injury to their quarterback, which, again, no other team has that.
But very few teams have ever had that in the history of the league.
Yeah.
So it's such an extreme luxury that you almost don't need it.
You almost don't need it, but if you're looking at it in the context of trying to win the Super Bowl, would you rather know you're set at quarterback, whether luck's on your side or not, or you got to add another linebacker in the draft? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're already there. This is their window.
True. I still thought he would be elsewhere.
I did not think he would have the top-selling merchandise in the NFL.
That might be the biggest surprise. Philly fans love them some Nick Foles. It's the last half-day club of the season with the Diamondbacks and your favorite Arizona sports host. On August 8th, get lower-level day game tickets for only $9.87 as the D-backs take on the Phillies, and we'll be broadcasting live from the Four Peaks Draft Room. Text the word HALF, H-A-L-F, to 620-620. We'll send you the link to get your half-day club tickets for only $9.87. That's HALF, H-A-L-F, to 620-620.
It didn't. I mean, in this business, you just never know. I obviously, the Suns need to make change. I do wish it wasn't so early in the morning. It woke me up, man. I was like, man, you know, you can always call from an agent. Nah, but you know how it is. Suns were looking to do a buyout at one point in time, and it's something that we weren't willing to do just because of how late it was in the game and free agency. All the roster spots were mostly taken.
Jared Dudley from earlier in the show. Jared traded today by the Phoenix Suns, so his second stint in a Suns uniform comes to an end. He's on his way to the Brooklyn Nets, along with a 2021 second-round pick in exchange for Darrell Arthur, who will be bought out for the Suns. They also made another move today, getting Rashawn Holmes in a trade for $1 million from the Philadelphia 76ers, which is being applauded as a pretty good, shrewd deal. We talked to Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN earlier. He liked that deal. And it says not a major deal, but Rashawn Holmes can play a little bit. I did get a kick out of Jared saying, I wish it didn't happen as early in the morning as it did. That happened in the 6 o'clock hour. It's bad enough to find out you've been traded.
Yeah.
To find out when you're dead asleep. And it wakes you. That's got to be a rough way to wake up.
I saw somebody on Twitter, you know, after it happened, like, JD, how come you haven't responded to the trade yet? And he eventually responded and said, man, I was sleeping.
That is like waking up to a call that, hey, Vince, you got fired. And we found a new job for you already. And you start now. Like, that'd be pretty disorienting.
Yeah, that's the difference between being traded in the NBA and being let go in the real world.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
They normally don't find a new job for you.
No, they really don't.
It very rarely happens. So he wasn't surprised by it. The Suns, and I know Gambo put this out on Twitter too, that the Suns have been trying to buy out Jared Dudley. And you heard his rationale there. It's late in the game. There's not a lot of roster spots open. I believe after today's maneuvers, the Suns have 15 or 16 players under contract. That's pretty commonplace around the NBA. So there's not a lot of jobs available. And Jared Dudley is looking for an opportunity to stick and contribute in his new home.
There's an opportunity to play, and that's what you, every player is at, just really wants that. No one, you know, it's very rare unless you are a certain type of player in this league where you're guaranteed minutes, and nor should you. And so there's an opportunity to play at the full position. I met with the coach. I remember going through the process in free agency 2 years ago. They thought my IQ and shooting was good for their system, so I'm excited. I've always wanted to live in New York, so no, there's no buyout coming.
Yeah, when you got a guy with that kind of attitude, excited to live in New York, I mean, it stinks for us in Phoenix because Jared has been a fan favorite, not only the last 2 years, but in his first 4.5-year stint with the Suns.
Yeah.
But you hope he can contribute to a team. And he's going to a young team, so he can still be counted on as a mentor as well. And maybe get some playing time, which just wasn't going to happen here in Phoenix.
He said that later in the interview, too. He's looking forward to being maybe more of an actual player on the court there, too.
Which brings you to, I'll play this first, then I'll ask you the question.
Okay.
The importance of veterans. Here was another snippet from our interview with Jared Dudley, and he touched on that subject.
Oh, man, it's huge. I mean, it's hard to show in our record how it was because, let's just be honest, really only one vet was playing, which was Tyson, and it wasn't all the time. I mean, you would love to have at least two vets as starters and at least two vets off the bench to help groom while you're out there. So I could help them. It's only to a certain extent. Usually if you look at, you know, my plus minus when I was in there playing, it's always a positive plus minus because even though someone might be better, it's knowing when to make the extra pass on defense, talking, when to make the rotation. And that you can only get by experience, film, coaching.
There seems to be somewhat of a debate going on. And Jared Dudley makes compelling points, obviously. The Suns agreed with that point. Two off seasons ago when, in addition to Tyson Chandler being here, they brought in Jared Dudley. They brought in Leandro Barbosa. Guys who had experience around the league, winning experience, playing for in the playoffs and playing for championships. Yet, here you are 2 years down the road. Tyson Chandler is the only one left out of those three. His days might be numbered in Phoenix. We don't know. The question is, and I've heard people debate this, how important is that mentorship, leadership quality for a young team if those guys are not going to be regular contributors on the court? Because nobody can argue that Trevor Ariza won't be a good piece for the Suns because of the leadership, the veteran know-how, and he's going to contribute.
He's
going to
be able to lead by example,
yeah.
Which obviously is makes him more valuable. I mean, I get that, but I just, when you have a young, it's one thing if you're looking at your team and you're saying, okay, our best player is 21 years old. And we're going to need him to develop into something special as his career evolves. But when all of your players are 21 and under, it just feels like the second anything goes wrong, you're susceptible to things really spiraling out of control. And you heard Jared Dudley in that cut right there. It's just a matter of knowing when to make the extra pass or when to do this little thing on defense. I mean, you're leaning a lot on Devin Booker. To me, it's two different conversations to say, is Devin Booker ready to be a leader? I think he is. I think he already was one last season. It's another thing to say, can he be the guy that the other young players lean on because he has so much NBA experience and he can tell them about things that you only get through experience? It's not a knock on you if you don't have it, if you don't have the experience. He's played 208 NBA games. That's 2.5 seasons. He doesn't have the experience. He just doesn't. He hasn't experienced winning in the NBA.
No.
So how is he, as good as he is and how on the court and as a leader and still getting better, how is he supposed to know what it takes to win in the NBA when he hasn't won in the NBA?
It's a figuring out process now because you can't rely on the guys that have done it so much. You've got to figure it out on your own. And with $158 million on your deal, That's where the responsibility lies now.
Yeah, but and I hear you. There's extra responsibility because he's getting that much money, but that doesn't make it feasible. I mean, he not only has to figure it out on his own, he's then going to have to teach it to Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton and Josh Jackson and Marquese Chriss and Dragan Bender. I mean, that's, I understand the argument coming back every time is you're giving him a max deal, you're giving him $158 million. This is part of the deal. I get that, but that doesn't mean he can do it.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get a job where they're like, do you have any experience? And you're like, no, I don't have any experience because you haven't given me the job yet. That's sort of where the Suns are. They're going to have to get that experience of winning by winning. They don't have anything to lean on to do it.
Yeah, but if you want to use the employment thing as an example, entry-level positions, then you move your way up to new positions as you learn the lay of the land. So Devin Booker's internship is over. Now he's counted to lead people, to manage a department, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but he's going right from the internship to management.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have had him intern in like Golden State or something for just a season.
Jared Dudley in that interview says he's not all that worried about Devin Booker's ability to lead.
Definitely more pressure, definitely more responsibility with that money coming in. He knows that. We've groomed him. He's been ready. He's humble, but yet confident. He sees the game in a different light. He's a star. And for him, how good does he want to be? I expect him to be more vocal. I expect him to be more of a leader, to take that next step, to be that guy. He knows it's on his shoulders. I think he's capable. I think that he can't get discouraged if they don't come out the box winning. He has to know to learn the personalities of the team with new guys coming in, who to push, who to be encouraged with them, which I'll provide, which I talked to him before, there's certain players of this, and he understands that. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Take basketball aside, he has a good understanding of just life, of understanding people, understanding his role. And so, for sure, I expect him to have a better year next year than this year. I actually worked out with him for a couple of days here in L.A. He looked fantastic.
All right, the other Suns news today is Davon Reed has been fully guaranteed for the next season. So mission accomplished from him, going to the Summer League and performing well. Suns also, according to Gambo, interested in keeping Shaq Harrison.
That's two guys who benefited greatly from Summer League play this year. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, we were all excited to see DeAndre Ayton and to see what he could do.
It wasn't like DeAndre Ayton was auditioning for a job.
No.
Those guys were.
Summer League was created for guys like Shaq Harrison and Davon Reed.
Yep. Coming up next, you know what time it is. Jared Carlin takes over with the Sports Kebab. It's Bickley and Murata, Luke Lipinski, and today from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Friday's Sanderson Ford Poll Question. It's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Who will have the best ERA after the All-Star break? Patrick Corbin, Zach Greinke, Robbie Ray. How about another one? I have no idea. That's what
Greinke.
I would vote for.
I will go with Greinke.
I'm Greinke.
I speak English good. I feel pretty safe.
You
with
talk
Zach
well. You talk gooder and stuff.
I did before this segment.
Right. We'll cast your vote for Greinke. 67% agree. 20% say Robbie Ray. His is up in the fives. Patrick Corbin got 13%. You can cast your vote in today's Sanderson Ford poll question. I talk good, too.
It's contagious. We're all so excited about the kebab.
It's on the front page at ArizonaSports.com.
It's sports news skewered. The Sports Kebab.
The only time I've ever used the phrase "I'm so excited about the kebab" is right when I'm about to walk into a Greek restaurant. Let's just get that clear. That being said, here's Jared Carlin.
We should change the name to the Sports Shawarma.
Babe.
But this is the Sports Kebab brought to you by Paradise Ridge Dentistry, where we don't just inject Novocaine, we inject fun. Text tooth to 620-620 to find out more about Paradise Ridge Dentistry. Now, it has been a very weird day for me, because it actually began. I was briefly offered the chance to host the ESPYs next year, but then they figured out that I had too much charisma, personality, and energy. So, Luke, expect the call.
Oh, nice.
Because they might
big moments.
Go that direction.
Anyway, it turned into a Luke Lipinski roast.
It's not
vengeance
a roast.
Will be mine.
Did you guys see Danica Patrick host? By the way, I mean, I've seen better comic timing in hostage videos. Okay, my goodness, some of those jokes though, they just fell flat. I mean, usually the only time Danica hears awkward silence like that is when she asks boyfriend Aaron Rodgers about his family. And some of those sketches during the ESPYs too. I mean, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers thought that when he broke up with Olivia Munn, he'd finally be able to stop pretending to enjoy crappy acting. Then I wake up this morning and I find out that due to a clerical error, I have been traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Okay? It's Jarrett with T's. I'm not going to fit in Brooklyn. I mean, mustaches look creepy on me. I don't like Mumford & Sons. I've never even eaten a vegan cupcake. Still, this is better than when I was brought into questioning by the Subway sandwich people last year. Jarrett, okay? J-A-R-R-E-T-T. That's my name. No, no. Of course, what I'm referring to is that show and fan favorite Jared Dudley was traded to the Brooklyn Nets today. And Gambo is reporting that they're trying to buy out Tyson Chandler as well. I mean, this Suns team, they are going to be young.
How young will they be?
I've seen older sports teams trapped in caves. Okay?
Wow.
I mean, this is a young team.
How young are they?
They are so young that
I
fear...
You're not going to
participate, Luke? No. Screw Jared.
I know. They're so young that I fear they'll get blown out in the second half of this game this year. Not because of their talent, but because half the players will be forced to go home due to curfew. You see? I mean, they're young, this team.
How young are they?
Okay, well, they're so young that at the end of games, instead of giving each other hugs, they'll give each other huggies.
Ooh.
Huggies. Now, the only good thing about having so many under 21 players is you don't have to worry about them getting in trouble with Scottsdale nightlife. You know, Scottsdale Fort nightlife, on the other hand, that might be where they... I mean, most teams appear on basketball cards. They're going to appear on Pokemon cards, is this young team. Is what's going to happen. Now, they're going to have to change their name, the team spelling. They're going to have to change it from S-U-N-S to S-O-N-S because each game will feel like a take-your-child-to-work day. Okay? Now, they do have one veteran in Trevor Ariza. And at this point, he must feel like Anne Ramsey during the filming of Goonies. Goonies. Now, I do actually have high hopes for the Suns team, because if nothing else, they should be fun, and maybe this year, maybe this is finally the year that they'll be better than the Spurs, because times are a-changing for the Spurs. Seriously, this is a stable franchise whose previous biggest change was when Greg Popovich decided to cover his moon crater face with a scraggly Donald Sutherland beard. But now the Suns have, the Spurs have traded Kawhi Leonard to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. Spurs fans give the trade a C, and Toronto fans give it an A.
They give it a what?
A? A? Now, Kawhi is none too happy
about...
Now,
you should do your Canadian voice and apologize for that joke.
Eh? Kawhi, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Kawhi is none too happy about being traded north of the border either. I don't blame him. I mean, things are a lot different in Canada than in the U.S. I mean, their accents are thicker. Their bacon is thicker. Their women are thicker. Now, he's not thrilled, though. I haven't seen someone that unhappy to see Raptor since a skeptical Jeff Goldblum. A Jurassic Park joke there.
I got
you'll,
it.
You'll get it.
I got it.
Now, a lot of people are down on Leonard for how he's acted in the last year, but this is such a stupid joke. But
how stupid
well,
is I'm, it?
I give him a break, though. Okay? I give Leonard a break. I mean, the guy had a rough upbringing and a dysfunctional family. Don't blame Kawhi, okay? Blame his brothers Kawhen and Kawich, because... They were.
You just answered how stupid it was.
So now Toronto could have a lineup of Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Fred Van Fleet, and OG Anunoby, which not only sounds like the names of a championship contender, but also sounds like the names of an unlicensed bootleg Star Wars film characters. Now, I never thought I'd say this, but poor Spurs. I mean, not only did they lose a superstar, but it turned out the all-star they thought they were getting in DeMar DeRozan was actually just Sacha Baron Cohen in a costume, which is amazing. Now, finally, did you guys see this story? This is a cool story.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Amos, you like when they do that on talk shows? Do you guys hear this story before they even...
Hey, see this story, huh?
A mysterious 2,000-year-old black sarcophagus has been opened. Did you hear about this?
Somewhat,
yes. An amazing discovery, said archaeologists. An incredible learning tool, said scientists. Get the hell away from my bedroom, said Adam Silver. Look, sometimes you got to give the people what they want, Vince, okay? Even if it's obvious.
Vince called that.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? All right,
that's still a pretty funny joke.
It's actually your best
get away from my bedroom.
Thank you.
Sports Kebab with Jarrett Carlin every Friday. I enjoyed that.
It was good.
I was expecting a little bit more of a Luke Lipinski roast, but
I got
the way it started.
Yeah.
A little tension at the beginning. I like that. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at Jarrett GC, JarrettGC. Yes, there is T's and not a D. Coming up as we close things out on a Friday, rave reviews for the offseason of one local team. We'll tell you about it next. It's Bickley and Murata with Luke Lipinski on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Luke, we got a lot in common. Just going to say that.
Oh, is that good or bad?
We start off the grid today. Hey, look! Some hockey news!
Hey.
Kind of. We're in the offseason, and it's been a busy offseason for the Arizona Coyotes. The Athletic. I don't know how to say this guy's last name. Dom Lucescu?
That's probably it without seeing it, yeah.
It's spelled Lucczyn. I am not making this up.
Somebody's cat just walked across the keyboard when they were putting that in there.
That's his name. There's three Z's in his last name.
Don Lucescu?
That's one more Z than Krzyzewski.
Wow, that's a lot of Z's right there.
Maybe it's pronounced Krzyzewski. We don't
probably
know.
Probably is.
But he rated offseason grades for all 31 NHL teams. He gave out three A grades, Luke.
Okay.
He gave an A grade to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah. Okay, they overpaid for somebody, but okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, yeah.
Got John Tavares.
Yeah.
And
then complained about it. Their fans are already complaining about John Tavares. He hasn't played a game yet.
They gave an A to the Arizona Coyotes.
I agree.
He writes, consider the Coyotes the opposite of the Leafs. What they lack in flashy superstar acquisitions, they make up for in quality depth moves, all while moving on from some negative value players.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I honestly, we're at the point now where I think John Chyk is one of the four or five best GMs in the NHL. It's like this in other sports, but specifically in the NHL, there are some GMs that just don't seem to know what they're doing, and they'll just make moves and pay money to certain players just so they can go to their fan base and say they made moves and paid money to certain players. Chyka, he does a lot of good under-the-radar stuff, and it's starting now this offseason to not go as under-the-radar as it had last year.
I looked it up. At the end of the 2016-17 season, the 20 guys that were on the roster, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson didn't play in that game, but I think of the guys that were on the ice plus the backup goalie that played that night in the season finale, I think there's six guys left on the team, maybe.
I believe it. But they had to make some changes. I mean, they weren't winning games.
All right, I know it's July 20th. Is this a playoff team?
I think they are right there. I really do. I think they're going to be a fringe team that if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to be in it until the final week of the season. And it's not... It's maybe not going to be flashy, although Alex Galchenyuk, who they got, is flashy.
Mm-hmm.
But building with defense and goaltending is the most surefire way to equalize everything. You can't go out there and get a John Tavares. Only a couple teams can go out there and get a guy like that who never should have been available.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Coyotes have done is build a solid defense and a solid goaltending duo, hopefully. We don't know about the backup yet. But there's still questions up front. But when you have that foundation, you don't need to score as many goals as some of these other teams.
I think I asked Bruce Jacobs this question last week. I'll ask you. Are you more excited about how the Coyotes finished last year or what they did this summer?
I mean, the moves they made this summer weren't necessarily exciting. I just think they were smart moves.
Okay.
I would say with the way they finished last summer or last season, because it's very understandable why that might carry over to next year. I don't believe in momentum carrying over. Like, I don't think they're going to look and say, well, we won that game in March, so obviously we're going to start great in October.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were learning a new system, and they didn't know it at the start of the year, and they knew it by the end of the year.
Gotcha.
So to me, it looks like a real improvement.
All right, here's a very heartwarming story about rabid fanhood rewarded.
Okay.
Are you an English Premier League fan?
No, I'm not. But there's, I do wonder why England's not better at soccer in the World Cup. They were okay this time.
Final four.
Yeah, but yeah. They don't typically get that far, and yet the Premier League is...
Well, it's not made up of only English players.
Oh, but it's such a big deal in England.
It is. But then they play for their regular country.
No, I understand. But you would just think it would be like Canada being mediocre at hockey.
No.
Do you want to give another hot soccer take while you're here? We got some time.
It'd be like... It's like America not being good at hockey.
America is good at hockey.
Yeah, I would feel like that would be like America not being good at, like,
not internationally, they're not.
Basketball.
Sure they are. They've done well in recent international competitions.
Yeah, U.S. is really good at hockey.
Olympics recently.
I don't hate soccer. I just hate the offside trap. And I hate, as Jared has pointed out a billion times, the flopping.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Watford Football Club of the English Premier League, they did not have a great year last year. 14th in the league.
Named after Earl Watford, little known fact.
Little well known. Yeah. 19 road games last year. They lost 13 of them. So they decided to... A lot of the English Premier League teams have unveiled new uniforms. It's not jerseys, kits. They're kits in soccer. But these, specifically jerseys.
They have a different name for everything.
Yeah. The way they decided to unveil them is by mailing them to the fans who traveled to all 19 of their road games last year.
I kind of like that.
It's pretty cool. This guy, Adam Drury, got one. Picture of the jersey. Best post ever. It also had a note in it that said... supporting the biggest clubs in the country is easy. You don't have to be there all the time. You can watch them on the telly and say you're a fan. It's different with us, and that's why we wanted to know you to know it matters.
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's more teams should do innovative stuff like that.
They're probably going to suck again this year.
Well, you know.
But at least
they'll look different.
Yeah.
They'll be in disguise now.
This Facebook post made me laugh out loud. Shaquille O'Neal posing in front of a giant yacht, apparently his purchase. And he's got his hand on his chin, pondering. And it says, "What should I name her? Hashtag my new toy." Andy Yang responded. I don't know who Andy Yang is, but he's a funny dude. He responded, "Call it free throw, so you won't ever sink it." Starting next Friday, the Sports Kebab with Andy Yang.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Mr. Yang.
Wasn't it the guy who, like, pretended to text somebody? Really? Wasn't he a Patriots guy? No.
No, it was Don Yee.
Don Yee, that's
somebody
right.
Pretended to be Don Yee,
that's
who's
right.
Tom Brady's agent.
Here, before you move on, I have clarification here on the pronunciation of that guy's name.
Dom Lucision.
Wow.
Say it one more.
That's what
Dom
I said.
Dom Lucision.
Did I not say Lucision?
I mean, that's what I thought it was, but I've never seen a name spelled like that before.
Well, there used to be a hockey player whose last name was Lucision.
Really?
Yeah. But it wasn't spelled like that.
It was like L-E-C-H something.
Yeah, and then like four S's. Yeah.
L-U-S-Z-C-Z-Y-S-Z-Y-N. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 out of 12 characters in his last name are consonants.
That's how you know he writes about hockey. Why don't you read that name in your Gambo voice?
Look, hockey writers, you got... Dom Lucision.
Hey, when he comes in, are they in studio today?
He's not. I don't think he's here.
Ah, because I want to just show him that name and have him try to pronounce it.
Sorry.
Whew.
You could still do that next time he's here.
All right, so Shaq's trying to name his yacht the Colorado Sky Sox minor league baseball team. They're renaming their team, and they've opened it up for fans. They got over 2,000 entries for a new name, and they've narrowed it down to 5. And I like a lot of the creative... you know, off-the-radar kind of names in minor league baseball.
Yeah.
These are 4 of the most awful choices for team names I've ever heard in my life. The Colorado Springs Happy Campers.
Okay.
The Colorado Springs Lamb Chops. Mm. The Colorado Springs Punchy Pikas.
Okay.
The Colorado Springs Throttle Jockeys.
That's gonna win.
And finally, the Colorado Springs... Rocky Mountain Oysters, which really makes me shudder to think what their logo would look like.
Maybe that's going to win.
That's probably going to win.
Yeah, probably. You can get away with anything in minor league baseball.
You really can.
Yeah.
They're awful. Sky Sox is a better name.
Barely. Isn't it Binghamton that's the Rumble Ponies?
Yes.
They had a contest like this like 2 years ago, and Rumble Pony was actually the best possible.
So like the
answer.
Vermont Lake Monsters exist?
Yeah.
And I have a Vermont Lake Monsters t-shirt. Great logo. But they're renaming for one night, and they're the Vermont Maple Kings. That's a good name.
That is a good name.
Yeah.
This reminds me of when, I think it was Canada, like one of their military ships, they were letting the fans name. Like
yeah,
the fans, the Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah.
Surprised I didn't go with Gretzky.
Don't let the public name anything. They'll mess it up. Finally, this story. This is not sports related. This is from the Daily Mail from the UK. Academics at one of Britain's top universities have been urged to avoid saying the phrase, as you know, in lectures for fear that students will be left feeling inadequate. The advice was given at a meeting of Bath University's Equality and Diversity Network, where members were warned it might cause some undergraduate to feel dimmer than others if they did not know what was being referred to, and as a result, do worse in their degree courses.
Some undergraduates are dimmer than others.
And if you are insulted by that, you are dimmer than others.
Yeah, exactly.
Bernice Dalrymple, who is co-chair of the university's Student Union Race Equality Group, told the meeting, some lecturers use commonly known references stating, as you know, which could make students feel at fault for not knowing and make it difficult to engage with course content.
Wow.
I'm not sure I want to live on this planet anymore. As you well know.
As I know.
Yes.
Wait, maybe I didn't know that. Does that make me dim?
You are dim.
All right.
Luke. It's been a slice. Thanks, man. Appreciate the work. Does this conclude your or you got duty next week too, huh?
Yeah.
Back on the morning show?
Nope.
Afternoon?
Yep.
All right. More Luke Lipinski coming up next week. Thanks to Kevin Arnovich and Jared Dudley for joining us. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
we're
out of
here.
Jared.
Burns and Gambo up next, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great weekend, everybody.